Welcome back, everyone. We're Simply Bitcoin. We break down the news from Twitter, the Daily Fail, meme review, software releases, hardware releases, and the websites by plebs or plebs, Nico's puzzled face. Anyways, we've got a return guest joining us today. It's Paco de la India, right? Or at Run with Bitcoin. He's been traveling around, attempting to use Bitcoin. We are going to hear from him and his travels. But first, we are going into the numbers. Let's do it, people.
Number time!
Number time is brought to you by Bitcoin 2022. It's going to be the largest Bitcoin conference ever. Get your tickets soon before the price goes up and take advantage of the link down below for 10% off your tickets to Bitcoin 2022.
At the time of this recording, the block height is 710,750. The Bitcoin price, 59,420. 420.
Yeah.
All right, anyways. Chain rewrite day 758. We've got to take the small wins, right? Total public lightning capacity, that's a new all-time high, 3,262.6. Moscow time 1683, and blocks to the halvening 129,250.
I mean, I just want to take some time and blame Dennis for all of this, because I mean, some people would say it like it's a good thing because you get Bitcoin cheaper. I tend to agree with those people. Some people are pissed off at Dennis. It's a mixed feelings, but I'm just going to say that it's Dennis's fault 100%. You know, the Bitcoin price knew, like, this guy, 58K, so we're going to fuck everyone and their expectations and make plan B a plan F.
These are nothing but 58K shenanigans. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, honestly, every single time now I've been looking at the price for the last 4 days, that's all I'm thinking is, fuck, freaking Dennis, look at what he's doing. He's killing us around this 58K, him and his gang. It's like, come on. And it's funny, right? Because any noobs that are watching are like, what the hell are they talking about? Okay. So, I mean, I think it was around the time that we went to the all-time high, Dennis came out with his call of 58K. I'm pretty sure it was around then, and everyone was just like, you know, like, fuck off, like, that's not happening, this and that. And then, of course, you know, we started to dip, we went down to 58K, we went below, we came back up to 58K, and then essentially, now, every single time we seem to dip and hover, it's this 58K region, which right now we're at 59K, but still, I'm feeling like this is the 58K gang's work.
Yeah, I completely put all blame onto them. They're completely responsible. But I got a really cool number thing.
Some hopium?
No, it's not hopium. It's
not
actual
hopium?
Signal numbers. Really interesting, by the way. It's on hashrateindex.com. And check this out. The popular rig price, it has the S9, S17, S19, M20, and M30, right? And it tells you their relative price, right? And let's go to the S17, right? And you kind of get a gauge, like, where these things are at, right? And also an appreciation of this hardware, because usually when it comes to hardware, it releases, right? And then the price of that hardware tends to go down over time. But you're actually seeing the opposite with Bitcoin miners, right? Here's the S19, which is the latest and greatest Bitcoin miner money could buy, right? And as you can see, the price goes up, right? Here's the M20, kind of the same story. Here's the M30. Even the S9, which is a very old machine, right? This thing is many years old, and it still has a price of $548, which is absolutely crazy. And I think, Phil, when you bought your S9, you actually got it cheaper than this.
I did. I got it for $300.
It's absolutely insane. And I think this represents what Adam Back said when he came on the show, which is the semiconductor shortage, right? And everyone's trying to get their hands on hardware, but it has a premium, right? Like, it's absolutely crazy. This machine came out, I don't know how many years ago, and now the price of that machine is more expensive. Now, the Bitcoin price obviously plays into that. I think the semiconductor shortage has something to do with that. And I think, you know, all the bullish news, whether it's El Salvador and all this stuff. And right now, like, to be frank, everyone is trying to mine. Everyone's trying to get their hands on these things. So that's what you're seeing right now. It's absolutely a great time to be a Bitcoin miner. Phil, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, man. I'm definitely not in the mining game anywhere nearly as you are, but that's to your point. I have never seen hardware become more expensive over time like that. I've only seen it lose value, and especially being a person who comes from the background of, you know, PC repair and stuff like that. Like, you know, I'd set up these machines, these custom boxes for teenagers and stuff like that, and immediately the thing was already obsolete. You know what I mean? Like, you were buying all this hardware and you already knew it was obsolete and it was the latest and greatest that you could get, but you knew that, hey, this thing in that by next year it's going to be chopped in, like, you know, by 50% if not more. You know, so this is interesting stuff. I know that, yes, you know, like, we're seeing the semiconductor shortage, but at the same time, I think I also would like to believe that it has to do for the demand for the hardware, because you can actually mine Bitcoin with it.
Exactly.
You know, so if you can get access to electricity that's cheap enough, even the older hardware is worthwhile.
Yeah, I would stand with that. But
yay. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I would stand with that.
I'm right about something mining.
No, it's because there's kind of a bleed over also, because you're also seeing this in other, like, tech hardware products, like the Xbox. Like, graphics cards are super overpriced because people are using it to mine shit coins and then dumping that money into Bitcoin, et cetera. So I would like to see, like, if and when, you know, these supply chains normalize. I'm kind of, you know, like, the Great Reset is going to come first before these things normalize. I don't know. But it's good for Bitcoin. Everything's good for Bitcoin, especially good for Bitcoin miners. But anyways, Phil, it's time for
the Daily Fail. Brought to you by Amber App. Check them out. Amber.app. It's Bitcoin made easy. It's the easiest way to buy Bitcoin. Check out the link down below. You know what? I'm growing accustomed to having Yellow here, and I'm starting to miss him. So it's been 2 days since I've seen Yellow. Yellow, tell me something. Tell me something sexy.
You should pet him.
Amber, the smart witch that says.
That's right. We've got return offender Barry Shilbert. We've had him as part of the fail before, and I'm sure we will have him as part of the fail again. Anyways, so just to roll over, you know, the profile, right? Founder, CEO of DCGCO, parent of Grayscale, right? So anyways, he's a, you know, co-owner of Grayscale. But anyways, I digress about that. Let's dive into the tweet. BTC max supply, 21 million. ZEC max supply, 21 million. And ZEN max supply, 21 million. And you can see what my response is right below. Two of those are shitcoins. This is a disingenuous take designed to lure noobs into thinking ZEC and ZEN are like BTC. No, they aren't. Okay? And they aren't, because they both had an expectation of value. That's just right there off the bat. And we're going to dive into some other pieces right now about this. Okay? So first of all, let's dive into Zcash. And I just want to note, okay? I'm not bashing on the technology. ZK Snarks is cool tech. Okay, and if it could be ported over into Bitcoin, it could be worthwhile. So I'm not bashing the tech, I'm just bashing the fact that this is just another shitcoin that doesn't need to be money because it has one feature. Okay, anyways, and as you'll see here, they've got some of the other makings of the regular shitcoins like Ethereum. Okay, here we go. After the Zcash launch, the Zcash engineering team released a series of upgrades known as the Sprout series. The team also put forward plans of two core protocol upgrades known as Overwinter and Sapling. The Sapling upgrade made efficiency improvements and enabling all new kinds of core protocol features. The Zcash Foundation was formed. Sound familiar? Like the Ethereum Foundation?
I think that's the signal right there. I love how they call it a foundation. But it's just like, it's like the company, you know? It's like the company that dumps on you, you know?
That's right. The Zcash Foundation, and we all know that they had a pre-mine, and we know that, if I'm not mistaken, every year there's like a certain percentage of the coin that goes to the foundation. Anyways, everybody can dive into the shitcoin if they want, but this is the piece we're going with today. The Zcash Foundation was formed in March 2017 with an initial endowment of 273,000 ZEC. That's right, just boom, here you go, here's 273K. Taken from the founder's reward, there you go, the founder's reward. That's what they get perpetually. Anyways, the Zcash Foundation organized the Power of Tao ceremony, which was at the time the largest multi-party computation ceremony ever performed. In 2017, enterprise partnerships like the Zcash collaboration with JP Morgan further fueled a wider interest in blockchains and ZK Snark. So see, we've mentioned this in the past, the partnership parade. right? This is one of the typical shitcoiner moves. In order to project the idea that this shitcoin deserves to gain in value, they tell you about all the partnerships. Let me tell you, you can partner with 100 different companies. That doesn't mean that it's bringing any value. Okay, it means absolutely nothing. Just means that they're using your SDK, which is your software development kit. Okay, that means nothing. Anyways, 2019-2020. In early 2019, the Zcash company, this is the part where it gets interesting. The Zcash company rebranded to the Electric Coin Company to differentiate from Zcash the protocol and the Zcash Foundation. The Zcash community began several month-long governance discussion regarding the continuation of the founder's reward and the Zcash trademark. So anyways, that is just to point out to you that piece. It's just a shitcoin like the other ones. Then they go and they create this false narrative, right, that you have the Electric Coin Company that's somehow separate from the foundation, but it's all Zcash. Anyways, we're gonna move on to, hold on, there's another piece to this, right? Because the other shitcoin he had was Zen, right? Barry had Zen up there. Grayscale has a Horizon Trust, right? They've got a trust based on this token. Where they get people earnings based off of it, right? Grayscale Horizon Trust provides a secure structure to gain exposure to HZen, which is their product. Okay? So, yeah. That's the first fail. So, to me, you know, you've got Barry shilling his bags, shilling shitcoins, and again, creating that false narrative, right, where association creates validation. And it's just not true.
I think you hit the nail on the head, dude. And I think I want to go back to this idea of partnership parades. And, you know, look, we went over this when you went over the Logan Paul thing about how he supposedly bought that NFT. You know, the question is, how much Zen did Shilbert get, you know, for this, right? Like, how much was given to him, you know, for free? Hey, you know, associate your name with this. It must have legitimacy because it's associated with your huge fund, right? Because that's kind of how they function, right? And we got a comment a couple days ago where the person said, you know, like, why are you guys hating on the community so much? Okay, hold on a second. The Bitcoin community is not the same as the crypto community, okay? It's completely two different communities. The crypto community is all for, you know, buying a token of a company, of a highly centralized, you know, so-called crypto. And the Bitcoin community is more focused on freeing mankind, right? It's more selfless. You see a lot of the fiat culture in the crypto community. So I would say they're two totally different things. I understand that once you're getting into, I hate using this word, crypto, it might seem all the same. And I think that's where they get you, right? Where Barry Shilbert shows Bitcoin, Zcash, and Zen, it's purposely to try to trick you into thinking, oh, they all have a 21 million cap, therefore they could be equal, right? I'm kind of buying the same type of thing, but that's a false illusion, right? Bitcoin has decentralization, right? It has a hash rate that these things don't even come close to, right? Meaning security, right? So, I mean, look, it's a false connection that I think a lot of people getting into the space kind of connect. And also, and I've talked about this a little bit in the recent Citadel 21 interview that I did with Pirate, where exchanges need to move to a SAT standard, right? Like the fact that they're stuck on a Bitcoin standard, it sucks. And I've seen the unit buys for a lot of people where they would rather have 1,000 worth of Zcash versus 0.000, I'm just giving examples, 0.0001 of Bitcoin, because psychologically it feels better to have 1,000 of something, even though that 1,000 of something is dog shit, right? So I think exchanges really need to move on to a SAT standard. I think we're going to see that very quickly. But at the same time, exchanges, like, you kind of have to ask yourself, why haven't exchanges done this already? I put a lot of thought into this. It's because it makes their shitcoins look bad, right? Why would they add Lightning? Why would they add this stuff if it defeats a lot of the narratives they've been trying to shove down your throat for the last couple of years, Phil?
But also, just quickly, think of how many fees they make off of the commissions they make off of your trade, off of the trading, right? Like, off of people's trading, it's insane. They have zero incentive to add these other things. They have zero incentive to make Bitcoin more appealing in that way. They're not going to get the trading volume that they're going to get on the shitcoins, right? Because the shitcoins are full of hopium. So to your point about that community thing, I mean, look, I get it, man. Like, I used to remember, you know, when I first got in, you know, I was sitting there saying, like, what the hell, you know? It's like, we're all one big happy family, you know? We can go and we can add on to this. And it's like, no, you don't understand Bitcoin yet. You don't understand what this is about yet. And that's why you think that makes sense. Once you understand why Bitcoin, then the rest of that stuff no longer makes sense.
Yeah.
Unless you're not being honest with yourself. If you're not being honest with yourself, then it continues to make sense.
Unless you financially benefit from one of
those
said
Bitcoins. But that's my point. I mean, you know, you have to be honest with yourself. It's, yeah, anyways.
Exactly. Paco, what are your thoughts on this shitcoinery?
There are everyone. There are a ton of them in India too now. And they all come down taking the same thing, saying we are decentralized, but they aren't. And what's their use case? Why do they need it? And it's always the same question. I was about a couple of days sitting with a Bitcoin developer, and we were just laughing our asses off on how every couple of minutes there's a new shitcoin coming down. And they all want to be the Bitcoin. And everybody has a face. As I go back to them, Bitcoin has no face.
Exactly. It's true. I think that's a really spot on, right? I know that with Zen, it's, I forget, Rob something. And then with Zcash, I forget the founder, but he's super famous too. But these people are still involved. They're still the head honchos, right? Who's the head honcho at Bitcoin, right? You could make an argument, which is a valid argument. You could say, oh, it's Blockstream. Oh, it's this. Blockstream disappeared. Bitcoin would be okay, right? Yeah. If, you know, if any of these quote-unquote ZCEOs or head of foundation people, whatever title is convenient to them, disappear, the question is, would development for that said shitcoin continue? And I would say, no, it would not, right? So anyways, big difference, and even though I know in the beginning it's hard to differentiate, but it's very important.
All right, moving on to the next fail. Right? We may remember this character. He quickly joined, you know, the Bitcoin community for a whole 10 minutes and instantly became a joke and disappeared into irrelevance, but he doesn't know about it. Anyways, we're talking about Chris Skye. So we may all remember, right, that Chris Skye was the advocate, right, you know, against the lockdowns, and we're going to fight the government, and we're going to do it with lawyers, and we're going to do it with the system, right? We're going to fight the system with the system. And let's take a look at Chris Skye today. And here we go. What's an NFT? Why should you learn about them? How can they help you in the future? Yes, Chris, shill your bags. Tell us about those bags. Then he gives you a link to his crappy Discord group. He blocked me, by the way, of course, because I had to make a comment about his stupidity. To find out why we have over 50,000 people getting rug pulled in our community, and it's growing every day. Oh, lucky them. Get on the whitelist. Hey, you too can have a JPEG. Anyways, so there you have it, right? Fighting the system, and now he's a shitcoiner with pictures. I'm sorry, that had to be on the fail reel.
Look, Aoi said something so wise. No, it was an incredible fail because there's a lot of signal there, and I think Aoi said something so wise, which is like, if you're not actively buying Bitcoin and taking self-custody, you're not fighting the system. Every time you, and again, like, we're not advocating, you know, anything illegal or anything like that, but anytime you pay taxes into the machine, right, you are funding the system, right? The best bet to change the system peacefully and legally, right, is to migrate to a Bitcoin standard where you're separating, you're taking the creation of money out of the hands of politicians, right? Because that's where a lot of their power comes from, right? It's like, think about it. It's like, why is the government able to do all of these things? It's because they're in control of the money, right? So again, there's a small group of people, right, of elite people, either elite politicians, which are controlled by elite people in that society, right, that control all of society, whereas Bitcoin, right, it's decentralized, right? You the fact that you have your own Bitcoin, whether that's one Bitcoin or 1,000 Bitcoin, you don't have any more influence over that said network, over that said system, unlike the fiat system, right? So that's the revolution. That's the change. Like, the change that you want, the revolution, is in Bitcoin. And none of those shitcoins, because of their lack of decentralization, are going to provide you that said change, which is why we focus on that so much on this channel. Because, yeah, if you want to get rich quick, you could totally get lucky on said shitcoin, right? If you want to be one of 1,000, right? But in our experience, like Phil and I's personal experience and just seeing this year after year after year after year, right? Here's the thing. It's like, do you want to gamble and, you know, gamble your net worth and your value and your time and your energy? Or do you want to put it in Bitcoin? In it, literally, the protocol is designed to go up in value because it has absolute scarcity and there's an artificial supply shock every 4 years caused by the halving, right? Which tends to put the price up, right? So again, like, do you want to put your value, and nothing's a sure thing in life, but do you want to put your value into something that has absolute scarcity, that can't be debased, it can't be confiscated by the money, by the government, or do you want to put your value into a roulette wheel? Because that's essentially what you're doing when you're buying said shitcoin, right? We've shown you many times, we're not going to pull you up the images, go back to the old episodes where it's like 2013, 2017, and 2020, and the top 10 shitcoins in the top 10 cryptocurrencies, I hate using that word, are different every single one of those years. I think ETH and XRP are the only ones that really kind of stay the same, but even them two, if you actually compare their value, as it relates to Bitcoin, they're still on a downtrend, right? Like, they're all-time highs in Bitcoin. I'm not talking about in dollars, because that's the misconception. It's like, oh, I'm fiat, you know, I'm fiat rich because I bought said shitcoin. That's not the real question. The real question is, do you have more Bitcoin as it relates to that said shitcoin, right? And we've pulled you those charts, and the answer is no. So in the short term, you might be able to outpace Bitcoin, but in the long term, what history has shown us is that no one beats the king, right? So anyways, mm-hmm. And that's, again, because the king doesn't have a hero. It doesn't have a foundation. It doesn't have a CEO, right? Anyways, Paco, what are your thoughts on all this?
We love it, man. We humans love to take risks. And the easiest way in India is by trading. Everybody gets onto trading, and you wouldn't believe everybody has tons of Shiba Inu, and then they go on saying it will be touching a dollar. And then we come down to say to them, like, come on, have we done some maths? And then you come down hearing every day. So there's every day talking. It's a get rich quick scheme, which is why Bitcoin is there to teach you patience, right? It teaches you, like, there's one simple code. As I said with you, like, about a week ago, I was sitting with a Bitcoin developer, and he showed me a single code on GitHub, which does the halving. And you're just like, oh my God, that's a single line that just creates so much magic. The magic internet money worth so much. And I think the shilling will keep going on, and every time there will be a new one trying to be the Bitcoin. But as you know, they all have faces.
Absolutely. I think that was so magical that the halving is only one line of code. That I didn't know that. You learn something new every day. That's really interesting. But yeah, man, it's such a shame. And I honestly, like, Coinbase, for example, they're never going to move to a SAT standard. I don't think they're ever going to implement Lightning.
No way.
Because it would just kill their business model. It would prove Jack Mahler's right, in the eyes of Armstrong. I think, you know, and then you kind of see this with Coinbase kind of, you know, visiting with Brian Armstrong, to be specific, visiting Washington, D.C. They have no choice but to kind of get in bed with the state, with the government, mm-hmm. to make sure that they don't get shut down. And you contrast that with Bitcoin, it's like Bitcoin just doesn't care, right? So, man, this is going to be a hell of a fight. The shitcoins aren't going to go anywhere. They're going to stay. They're just always going to be there. But, you know, at least we provide a counter narrative, even though I know it's inconvenient for a lot of people. But anyways, Phil, it's time for the Daily Meme Review. The Daily Meme Review is brought to you by Citadel 21. It's the best Bitcoin cultural zine. Get yourself a physical copy. There's only 1,000 made per volume. This is volume 9. They're scarce. This is copy 300. And yes, super cool artwork. It's different artwork for every copy. Get your copy of Citadel 21 today. All right, everybody. The first meme for the Daily Meme Review is brought to us by Lena Seish. The era of fiat institutions is coming to an end. Developing countries depend on our loans to escape poverty. We'll connect our country to a free monetary network and financially empower our people. That's a step too far. We're not supporting you. El Salvador 2030. It's a super cool city. A lot of details in there. Bitfinex and Blockstream, which are in charge of the Bitcoin bond, Volcano bond, whatever you want to call it. And they say, just wait until they come asking for our help. Yeah, right. Okay. I bet you Steve Hanke cried when he heard about that. Anyways, moving on. The next meme is brought to us by Joe Consorti. And no, Bitcoin is threatening the dollar as reserve currency. And the Chads, yes. Highly accurate. Next one brought to us by Daniel Burr. We have City Coins. We have Bitcoin cities. I want to apologize because this dude is from Miami. Okay, next one. This is how memes are so effective. This was a response to an Ethereum tweet. Someone said, yes, I have abandoned Ethereum despite supporting it in the past. Yes, Ethereum has abandoned its users despite supporting them in the past. The idea of sitting around jerking off watching the burn and purity test while zero newcomers can afford the chain is gross. And this is, he's referring to the fees, right? And this is Dave Hoffman. We've made fun of him so many times. This is, he actually asked for the state for one of the things we actually made fun of him.
Yes.
It was like something was stolen. He's like, I'm going to tell the IRS on you guys. You know, it really, and his handle, his handle is Trustless State, right? But again, like it shows when he has a Freudian slip because the shitcoiners are centralized, right? Think about it, right? So their first, you know, reflex when something goes wrong is, let me get the big daddy state, you know, to try to enforce something on someone else, right? Anyways, abandoning decentralization is the biggest sin that you can... Okay. Yeah. In this space, it's easier to fix fees than it is to fix centralization. And then this is what I was going to say. Bitcoiner, the Vandelay Bitcoin says decentralization. First, the cubes, right? Says Mark Cuban showing off his 1 year old son's Ethereum node, and it's, you know,
data center.
Exactly. And it's powered by AWS, right? We've shown you the receipts how, you know, 70% of Ethereum nodes, like 30 to 70%, are run on AWS servers because they're so resource intensive. It has that infamous chat with Vitalik where he's like, stop the deposits and withdrawals, right? You know, you got to ask yourself, like, if someone has so much influence over the network that they could do some of those things. Earlier this year, we had him, you know, essentially changing the miner algorithm, right? Just at a flick of a finger. You have to ask yourself, you know, if this actually becomes a threat to the fiat money printer, how easy is that to shut down by world governments, right? It's just one person. It's one foundation. And to compare that with Bitcoin. But anyways, Phil, for those awesome memes, I'm going to give it a very Phil score. I'm going to give it a USB cable. But it's not only a USB cable. It's a USB 2.0A to a USB-C cable. Yeah. What about you?
Very nice. Very nice. Anyways, look, those were great memes. And I am going to go with an unconventional score, but interesting nonetheless. Going with Baby Groot.
Ooh.
That's right. Bobblehead Baby Groot.
Baby Groot. You can never go wrong with that. And last but not least, Paco. He's four in the morning. Where he's at.
I'm going to give it a GoPro, guys, because I feel it said the right thing down there. And this is how things go forward, by making memes. It is the easiest way to catch any attention. So say things subtle. It's a subtle message down there, which will take time, because everybody just wants to make quick money. They don't see the future. It's like your government changing every 5 years. That's like your father changing every 5 years. Hey, just imagine your parents would have thought for you for 5 years. Think of a long term, right? 20 years, 40 years, 60 years.
Lots of
and
wisdom.
Memes is the best way.
Lots of wisdom. Lots of Paco's dropping wisdom bombs today, man.
Yeah, that's right.
Absolutely love this. But anyways, guys, we want to know, do you agree with our memes? Do you agree with our memes? Do you agree with our scores? Let us know down in the comments. Join our Telegram group so you can link us some Bitcoin memes to review, because a Bitcoin meme review. But anyways, Phil, it's time for the Daily News. The Daily News is brought to you by CryptoCloaks.com. Get yourself a 3D printed El Salvador colored Bitcoin grenade, or in any other color, or get yourself a 3D printed Bitcoin honey badger. Look, it has space for a hardware wallet. And take advantage of the link down below for 5% off your 3D printed thing from CryptoCloaks.com. Okay, so this is kind of like an I told you so moment, because no, this isn't really an I told. This is because these people, they don't know what they don't have an option but to money print, right? So they can't explain this away like they would usually be able to. Anyways, I'm going to shut up. I'm going to let the vice president, first female president of the United States, I might add, for an hour, talk about inflation. Let's see how she feels.
Prices have gone up. And families and individuals are dealing with the realities of the, that bread costs more, that gas costs more.
So like, Phil, go ahead.
I just quickly want to say, notice she didn't say we. She is not including herself in any of that. It's families. It's other people. Anyways, I'm sorry. Go on.
No, I think you're spot on, because these people are the culprits. They're the ones causing the inflation by the record amount of money printing. But she's acting like as if like we can't do anything about. Yes, you can. The thing is, if you do something about it, which we've talked about on this show, which is the taper off, which they never did, right? But if they did taper off, they would crash the economy, they would crash the stock market. So their only choice is to keep printing, and if they keep printing at the rate that they're printing, inflation, right? So this is kind of the crux of it, and you have to keep in mind, whatever you feel about Kamala Harris, right? And we're apolitical on this show. She still has a college education. I'm sure she's smart. She was a prosecutor in California, right? So you don't get to those places, right, without having some level of education. And you're seeing the same type of responses from Yellen, from Christine Lagarde. Christine Lagarde was like, I'm searching into my soul. You know, we did some soul searching to this inflation thing. This is the best type of excuses they can come up with. If that isn't the best Bitcoin commercial, I don't know what is. Phil?
I saw somebody comment, she sounds like she's drunk. I thought that was pretty funny, but seriously, that was one of the most ridiculous. I feel like so, just so unempathetic and just so dismissive. And I, you know, don't get me wrong, but like, and again, like you said, you know, we're apolitical. I don't really give it. I don't care what party, you know what I mean? Like what party she's for, it makes no difference. Just that kind of, every time I've seen her speak, I always feel as though it's very defensive and dismissive. And to me, like that is not the kind of person that should have the power that the vice president has. She actually scares the shit out of me. Like, she's one of those people, you know what I mean? It's like some people are just so insane that, like, they just scare you, you know? Like, you don't want to be anywhere near that train wreck at any point in time. And unfortunately, this person is in a position of extreme power.
Yep.
So, anyways, she freaks me out.
You're dude, absolutely spot on, and it's just so terrible. Listen, but we're looking at this from the eyes of the Bitcoin lens, right? You're protected by the orange force field. So you're just looking essentially at this ancient money system and political system, I might add. And you're just looking at it. You're like, dude, what the F is that? This is crazy. This is insane. You know, that these people have so much power because they control the money supply. It's just insane. And I know what you're saying. It's like, oh, no, but the Fed and the government are separate. It's like, yeah, but they pass a bill of this much money and then they know that the Fed is going to pay for it. So it's like, yes, on paper, it is separate. But the question you have to ask yourself, is it really separate? You know, in the beginning, right, like we've always said, maybe in 1949, the Bretton Woods, maybe in 1971 when Richard Nixon like initially took us off the gold standard, maybe you could say the Fed and the government was working separately. But now, in today's day, I think they're only separate on paper, really. But anyways, Paco, are you seeing this inflation in India?
Yeah. I'm just going to say it was like Miss Harris or Mrs. Harris. She saw a white elephant coming out at her, and she didn't have anything to do. And in India, there's a development is the Prime Minister of India came down live on TV, and he was saying, we as democratic nations need to understand Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies. So that was a very positive move, which I felt was he immediately differentiated between Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies. And that is something really nice that's happened in India, because they are running after legalizing this because it's going nuts crazy. We would have invested somewhere around. India is ranking number one in the world. That's what I come to hear from Indian news channels as crypto users. But mostly shitcoin users, I'm telling you, all shitcoins.
Oh yeah, I know. Unfortunately, it was the similar type of thing in 2017 and 2018 as well. But dude, you know what? at least the government did make that differentiation. Hopefully he'll call them shitcoins soon, but I'm not holding my breath.
That is incredibly bullish, bro. And yeah. Again, this kind of goes into the theory that we were talking about, Phil, where it's like the countries that least benefit from the legacy financial system, they're going to be the first ones to jump ship, right? They're going to be like, well, like if it's the dollar and the euro, like why am I here? You know, it's like mm-hmm. it's like why am I defending this system? It's trash, right? And then you have like the U.S. kind of, you know, posturing, you know, they're passing all these crazy laws and the recently, you know, the infrastructure bill. And then you see hope in India, you see hope in El Salvador, which we're going to get to in a second. But yeah, man, I'm incredibly bullish for the future and specifically those countries that are embracing Bitcoin rather than fighting it. Anyways, moving on to this, right? This was the initial kind of article, right? Where, again, you saw Steve Hanke kind of structuring this way where it's like, look, beware, don't touch Bitcoin. It's going to torpedo your fiat money things, whether it's bonds, whether it's the IMF loan. The name of this article is El Salvador Bitcoin Scheme Could Torpedo 1.3 billion IMF loan, analysts warn. And I think they tried to do that to like dangle it over their heads. But again, right, El Salvador government strikes deal with Bitfinex Blockstream to issue $1 billion Bitcoin bond, right? So it's literally, again, it goes back to this idea of the moat that they built, Phil, where they built such a big moat around themselves that they thought they were protected, but all of a sudden there's a parallel system that's better, that, you know, that just provides a better solution to these, you know, developing countries. And I don't think they know what to do. I looked at Steve Hanke's Twitter. He hasn't said anything about it. Maybe he says it tomorrow, right? But again, like, I don't think they have a solution to this. But I'm also kind of worried as well, right? Because usually when a country starts doing this, you know, Libya was talking about making a currency based on gold. And all of a sudden, you know, the United States had interest in Libya. And there's a couple other examples as well. Usually when this starts to happen, America's like, that country needs freedom, right? You definitely see the rhetoric.
Bingo.
You definitely see the rhetoric from the media, you know, calling him like a dictator. But at the same time, there's literal concentration camps in Australia. And in Austria, they want to lock the whole country down. But for some reason, they're not dictators, but El Salvador, that's using actual freedom money, he's the dictator. Really makes you question what's going on. But anyways, what are your thoughts on this, Phil?
No, I think you hit the nail on the head, man. It is definitely time for Team America World Police to head on out there and give them some freedom. I mean, that is it. And it's so funny, right? Because really what's happening, it's like, here we go. We bring in the army and it's time for you to take some U.S. currency and owe us everything. Welcome to freedom, you know? And then the Olive Gardens start coming in and the McDonald's and all that good stuff. So
I'm waiting for that moment. And I saw a couple plebs questioning the narrative, like, why hasn't this happened yet? So anyways, just a thought.
But I did see something else about El Salvador, where El Salvador was being bashed again for Bitcoin, and it's unfortunately I'm totally brain farting on what it was, but it was just one of these absolutely pathetic narratives. I'm gonna see if I could dig it up. But look, we can't expect that. You know what? I think it was ICO Sanat, okay, and I do have the tweet. I'll provide it for us in the show notes. But essentially, it's from the Fed Reserve, the St. Louis Fed Reserve, explaining, okay, how these top South American countries have all kinds of, you know, like, have increasing numbers of people trying to flee. And of course, El Salvador is on that list, right? It's and of course, it's like the one of the main mentions, you know? So it's just this totally cringe, stupid take. Keep in mind, the Fed came out with another take about how it costs less money not to eat turkey this year. You know, like, so now all of a sudden the Fed Reserve is giving health guidance. Is that what's happening to us? Is this the world we've come to?
We're
getting health guidance?
This is total collapse, bro. This is
they're doctors now.
This is total.
They're dietitians, Nico.
Total and utter collapse of the legacy institutions, dude. We're witnessing it before our eyes. They're losing legitimacy. Yeah.
It's the banker dietitian. You haven't heard about this role? Come on, man. We're going to sign up for this. We're going to be the new banker dietitians, okay? We're going to tell people how to eat. We're going to tell people how to bank. It's going to be fantastic. It's great.
I heard it's actually healthier. According to the World Economic Forum, it's actually healthier to eat bugs than turkey. That's what I heard. I might be wrong.
And they're very high in protein.
Yeah, that's what I heard as well. That's true. Anyways, Paco, what are your thoughts on this? Are we crazy, yeah, crazy fools?
Like bugs are good for proteins, that I agree with. Like, you got to eat lots of them. And FUD is really important. Like, I'm in India, right? And I keep checking the news. So I was looking for some Bitcoin places in Hyderabad. I type Bitcoin Hyderabad. The next thing you know, it's only scams, money lost. This was they lost their private keys. This is how they're taking the money. It's the biggest bubble. Those are the top 10 news. And then you're like, okay, these news channels are all centralized. So they control the power. And who controls them are guns and missiles run by the government. And that's how they just keep creating FUD for everyone. So that people keep getting scared and keep calling us crazy. And I guess it's good to be crazy.
Yeah, I get it. Dude, it's definitely, being crazy has been a really good decision. If I listened to any of their advice, like Steve Hanke's advice or Peter Schiff's advice, I'd be a lot poorer than I am today. What about you, Phil?
Yeah, I definitely am glad that I didn't listen to any of the mainstream information. And yeah, these people are just absolutely evil clowns that are ruining people's lives with their ridiculous poverty creation narratives, you know? So
I think the narrative is collapsing, though. I think, I think by the day, less and less people are really buying into this BS. Like, we're witnessing it. But again, like, it's what I said, like, human beings, you know, we see it, we feel it, right? But again, time does its thing, right? So it could be years of this collapse. It's slow. But anyways,
Nico,
from Arant, yeah.
The Fed just gave food guidance. I want you to remember that. We said this here, and don't worry, we're going to cover it tomorrow on the fail, okay? So that's part of the fail. So I already gave that part away, but it doesn't matter.
Absolutely insane, right? But anyways, the big headliner of today before we, you know, kind of pivot to Paco's explorations, check this out. Big news dropped last night. This is on Bloomberg, right? You know, El Salvador plans tokenized Bitcoin bonds and tax-free Bitcoin city. El Salvador, I just want to point out Nayib Bukele. Anyways, El Salvador intends to issue the world's first sovereign Bitcoin bonds and build Bitcoin City, which will be free of income, property, capital gains taxes. President Nayib Bukele announced in the Bitcoin beach town of Maisaita, I don't know if that is Bitcoin Beach, but anyways, to a crowd of cheering Bitcoin enthusiasts. El Salvador plans to issue $1 billion in tokenized U.S. dollar-denominated 10-year bonds to pay 6.5 via the Lightning Network. Now, focus here a little bit, right? 6.5 doesn't sound like a lot to a Bitcoiner, right? But compare this with traditional bonds. This is a nuclear fucking weapon, right? I think the 30-year bond in the U.S. is 1.8%.
Haven't seen this in years.
This is rocking to the core, right? Half of the funds of the so-called volcano bonds will be converted to Bitcoin, and the other half will be used for infrastructure and Bitcoin mining powered by geothermal energy, Mao said, while sharing the stage with Bukele, which we'll get to some pictures in a bit. After a five-year lockup period, the government will begin to sell its Bitcoins and pay an additional dividend to investors, Mao said. He told Bloomberg News on Thursday about his proposal. Blockstream's models show at the end of the 10th year of the bond, the annual percent of yield will be 146% due to Bitcoin's projected appreciation. Mao said forecasting Bitcoin will hit the $1 million mark within 5 years. We're not going to say our opinion on that, but Mao said the lockup period on the bonds is designed to take $500 million in Bitcoin out of the market for 5 years, adding to the token's scarcity and value. I hate this word. Tokens. No. It's not a token. It's just Bitcoin. But I love the rhetoric. Anyways, moving on. Let's show some pictures, right? This is actual Nayib Bukele in the middle of the presentation, and it has some more details. And thanks to this tweet by Brad Milscan. But anyways, it has issuer, the Republic of El Salvador.
Brad Milscan.
Bookrunner, Bitfinex Securities, Issuance Protocol, Liquid Network. Congratulations, Adam and Mao, by the way, for that. This has all the details, really cool stuff. All of this is in the link down below. Another picture, Mao and Nayib Bukele. This is so historic, man. This is incredibly bullish, right? And they kind of go into the details, more of it. Assuming a five-year volume weighted average price of $50,000, the note could generate additional capital of $160 million. This is completely game-changing to traditional bonds, which aren't even beating inflation. This is just going to, I think, honestly, Phil, I think that 6.5% is extremely conservative.
I know.
It's extremely conservative, man. So this is incredibly bullish. Now, here's the thing. In the beginning, this is going to look like batshit crazy town to a lot of traditional investors. But in 5 years, again, this is, to use Jack Mahler's own word, this is a pawn to E4 moment. In 5 years, this isn't going to look ludicrous anymore. And it's traditional bonds that are going to look insane. And This is going to look sane. So think about that paradigm shift that we're about to experience within the next 5 years, right? So anyways, the last picture that I wanted to show, absolutely bullish Bitcoin City. Bitcoin is legal tender, 0% income tax, 0% capital gains tax, 0% property tax, 0% payroll tax, 0% municipal tax, 0% CO2 emissions. I think they put this for the climate.
Yeah, but anyways, that's right.
You get the point. Absolutely super, super freaking bullish. I did a little bit more research. I think that there is going to be a 10% consumption tax, which I think I think that kind of makes sense. It's fair, right? So there is going to be a tax, but it is going to be when you consume something. But I think that makes sense, especially since there's a 0% income tax, 0% property tax. But I might add that this is next to a volcano, this Bitcoin City. So, it is really bullish, but I don't want to get caught up in, you know, a lot of the narrative, right? You know, I heard from a lot of reports that Nayib Bukele did go on stage and there was fireworks, kind of reminiscence of like a shitcoin Carlos Maza presentership. Of course, this isn't that, but, you know, why the extra jazz and whistles and all that BS? It's unnecessary. I think Bitcoin talks for itself. But again, you know, each to each their own. Kind of just want to give two perspectives, but this is incredibly bullish, and this is a 51% attack on the US dollar, on government bonds in general. This is an incredibly strategic move that I suspect has been thought out a lot. And we were actually talking about this, Phil, believe it or not, when we were reporting on the initial IMF loan a couple months ago. We were discussing what we were riffing, like, wow, the IMF has incredible leverage over El Salvador, and this is the Bitcoin response. And man, this is an incredibly intelligent response. And I don't think they have anything to combat this unless they start playing unfairly kind of under the table, which they already are. So is the rhetoric going to increase? Is the U.S. want to give them freedom? I suspect it's going to be all those things, as what Bitcoin does. It shines a line of truth on the garbage that is already there. Bitcoin isn't a threat. What it does, it just highlights the dog shit that was already there. So is it gonna do the same? I suspect it is, right? I suspect, Phil, and I know this is a big, you know, a big statement, but I think that this is going to change everything, because all of a sudden you have a developing country who you would see as poor, right? It doesn't really have a big population. And all of a sudden, their bond outperforms the U.S. bond, which is the staple. It's considered the staple of the legacy financial world, right? So that's a tough narrative, to be honest. And there's definitely going to be a lot of, you know, clashes to try to, like, don't look over there, look over here. Anyways, what are your thoughts, Phil?
So look, right? Like, I mean, don't forget. What's about to happen? Okay, because this is inevitable, right? It's exactly what you just said about the bond. Okay, we just had a situation that validated a whole bunch of money printing. Okay, and the continued money printing. But you see, the thing about this is that you need to continue to have these situations to validate this money printing, and we need to print more. So we're definitely gearing up for freedom time. Okay, like it's definitely almost time to give some countries some freedom. You know, so I unfortunately, like, we know, you know, like, they, because let's face it, at the end of the day, how many hands do they have to play? And what do they have in their hand? We just went through COVID. What else are we going to do? Market bubbles and busts? We've already had them, right? Printing money to save the banks? We've already done that. What other narratives? Well, we can print money to for the student loan bubble, which has been bubbling up that people don't seem to mention anymore, but still exists. That could be a hand to play. But I think that Bitcoin to the, you know, to certain people in the government, Bitcoin is a bigger, you know, a bigger thing to look at than those things. You know, those are kind of stuff that they can keep in their back pocket, you know, but this could merit a lot of money printing.
A lot of freedom. A lot of freedom.
A lot of freedom.
And when we say freedom, we mean U.S. invading not countries, because that's what they do, right? They find a convenient excuse. You know, you already see the rhetoric from the media. You see Hillary Clinton going on, you know, a forum of elites and saying cryptocurrencies are a threat to the status quo. No. They're a threat to politicians and the way that you've been racketeering and just taking advantage of your populace to enrich yourselves. But it's actually going to free your people. It's going to make your people a lot wealthier. And more importantly, it's going to empower the people over the state, right? So again, but let's see how this develops. I think that this caught a lot of people off guard. Let's see what their response is, which I'm sure they're going to have one. Anyways, Paco, what are your thoughts on this, with this historic moment in El Salvador?
Hey, this is amazing, guys. This is really great. Somebody had to take the leap of faith, and that too with 6.5% right in your face. It's a strong message. Like, guys, start looking this way, but as you know. But anyways, US had control over them. Like, they were using US dollars. Similar is with Panama and Ecuador. And they love to have control over every country that is trying to leave them. And this is going to go, it's going to get into a bloody war. It's going to be crazy financial war. Mm-hmm. The IMF will be like, you have to pay our money. And we'll be like, here, take our Bitcoin.
Yeah, dude, it's going to get crazy. And, you know, The Confessions of the Economic Hitman is an incredible book. And it talks about all these economic wars that are in the shadows, right? You think they don't exist, but they do. And, you know, the U.S. leverages all their three-letter agencies to try to do some shady stuff, to try to get these countries really, to try to really keep the hegemony of the U.S. dollar alive, really. But anyways, to kind of, at the last two tweets before we pivot to Paco, I just want to give a shout out, because I think this is incredibly bullish. First of all, this is crazy. Max must be on cloud nine right now. Special thanks to Max Kaiser for inspiring volcano bonds. And that's the president of El Salvador essentially giving Max credit. That's fucking insane.
Huge.
And then this is a really interesting tweet by Gigi. It says, sovereign individual thesis playing out right before our eyes. And what he's referring to is this amazing book, which I highly recommend. It's called The Sovereign Individual. And in that book, he's describing exactly what's happening right now, where it's this theory because of the advent of semiconductors, it would empower individuals so much that you would see countries start to compete for individuals to go there, right? Think about that. Before, that wasn't possible on a US dollar system, because think about how difficult it is if you have millions of dollars and you want to transfer that from the United States to El Salvador. Think about all the hoops that you have to go through, all the fees, all the KYC, is that for drugs, all those questions. Now with Bitcoin, you could take that over the border and memorize 12-word seed, and you could take, you know, if you had those millions of dollars with you, and you could take everything with you, and you could just leave. You don't have to go through all these hoops, right? Since the money is separated from the fucking system, right? Mm-hmm. So again, that gives the individual tremendous amount of power to go where he is treated best, right? You're already kind of seeing a microcosm of that in the US, right? Where the blue states, again, we're apolitical. We are super political in the sense that we vote for politicians that support Bitcoin. We don't care about their fiat political parties, whether they're Democrat or Republican. We don't give a shit, right? But we do give a shit about whether they support Bitcoin or not. So just to clarify that, but you kind of see this already in the blue states, where the blue states decided to lock down, whether you agree with that or not, and the red states decided to stay a little bit more open. So what you're seeing is you're seeing a lot of people leave the blue states to the red states. And the reason I bring that up is it's kind of an analogy of what this is, right? If a country starts to get too totalitarian with Bitcoin, what you're going to do, what you're going to see is a flight of Bitcoiners leaving that country to go to El Salvador, to go to the Ukraine, to go to India, which have more, or to go to Portugal, as 0% capital gains tax for Bitcoin, to go to essentially sovereignties or countries that have more favorable regulation. And again, because the friction to take Bitcoin with you is so small, right? Again, it's just a matter of like, okay, let's just get up and leave and like, fuck this authoritarian shit. It's not worth it, right? And again, you know, the internet also facilitates that, because all of a sudden, especially with, you know, the sickness that's going on in the world right now, you see a lot of, you know, job providers, a lot of employers, right, essentially saying, listen, let's just go all remote. I don't know why you're going to the office. I know that's the case with you, Phil, like kind of happened in your job. So again, you know, it's definitely a it's going to be a radically different world in 10 years. And if you kind of want like a playbook, a step-by-step playbook of how this is going to play out, kind of refer back to Gigi's tweet, I definitely recommend the book, The Sovereign Individual. It's absolutely mind-blowing. And this guy predicted everything that's happening right now back in the 90s, right? Even the advent of an e-money and all of this stuff, and essentially what the internet was going to facilitate for individuals, essentially. Phil?
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. I don't have any other comment on that. I'm sorry.
What about you, Paco? Have you read that book?
Nope, I haven't. There's a new one. I just got the book of Satoshi. And I was just reading the writings about him. And this is something new. And Gigi is really well respected. So anything what he says, 21 guy is. And obviously I have to read about this. And it's all about that freedom, but people don't want freedom. They want control over their life, because they want to go back crying to someone, to blame to someone. Like on the Indian news channels, they debate. And they say, who's going to take the blame? Who's going to save us? And as if like there's going to be some Jesus Messiah that's going to come down and he's going to be like, hey, guys, this is the way forward. And there's still a long way to go, but it's going to be crazy over the next 2 decades. That's what I see.
I completely agree with that. It's going to be absolutely crazy as we're transitioning from the industrial age to the information age, right? And I agree with that. And it actually mentions this in the book, as a large percentage of these, to use the book's own language, democratic welfare states, a large percentage of those countries that are used to the benefits of the fiat money prints are going to be like, fuck those people. Those Bitcoiners, they suck. What was that guy, Dave Troy? It's like they're right-wing extremists, like all this crazy rhetoric. They're going to use all of that. And they're going to blame Bitcoin for their failures, right? You already see Hillary teeing this up. She's already testing the waters. It's like Bitcoin is responsible for the collapse of the fiat system. Uh-huh. It's Bitcoin responsible for the collapse of the dollar. Like, dude, it's Bitcoin's the way out. The dollar's been collapsing, right? So Bitcoin's just a very convenient exit door that you guys hate because it takes power away from you, you know? So I agree with Paco.
We don't blame the lifeboats.
Yeah, exactly. The Titanic sinking, and it's like, those lifeboats, why are they there? People should go into the icy waters and wait for us to rescue them, you know? So anyways, Paco, I kind of want to pivot to you, because I know we had you on a couple months ago where you were essentially starting this journey of traveling. I know it's been hard with the sickness going on and stuff like that, but I want to kind of give everyone an update. How's that been? How has your experiences been? And just kind of remind everybody, you said that you were going to do that trip with Bitcoin only. So kind of bring us up to speed.
All right. Hi, guys. Namaste, everyone. Thank you to the Bitcoin community. Like, it's been possible. Today's day number 67 as I speak to you. And I've been just using Bitcoin. I think so. I would have opened over 50 blue wallets, given over 10 paper wallets over this period. And all this was possible just because of the people I was meeting. And as I started off with just hardly, if I would put it down, like less than 500,000 Satoshi. So I just had 500,000 sats. And then people just came down and started contributing. And things just started catching momentum. I've done now 16 cities in India. I've been to UAE. where I met most of the crypto, what do you call, influencers. So there's a huge difference that I came to see between the crypto influencers and the Bitcoin influencers, and got to understand it so much more. But like, yeah, I got my haircut on Bitcoin. I got myself a burger on Bitcoin. I got myself a coffee on Bitcoin. I got myself shots on Bitcoin, sushi, taxi, flight tickets, bus tickets, train tickets. I practically got a meal. I paid for my guide on Bitcoin. I paid for a laundry on Bitcoin. I got shoes on Bitcoin. And I'm just been giving it about like, it's all possible because every time or the other, somebody is ready to accept it. So it is an acceptable asset in India for sure. That's something that's come out clean. And in Dubai, it was much more about like how people are. It's free country, guys. That's the place where nobody questions you. They don't question how you get your money and you can use it. And it's going great. I got a lot of contribution, but still falling short because my international starts. And because as I was trying to get in touch with Bitcoin only companies, I got a lot of offers from a lot of coins. Like last night, I got a message from Matic, Indian coin. And they were like, we can support you, but you need to have some Matic angle towards it. And I was like, I'm so sorry. I won't shill any other coin. Thank you so much. And they were just like, a lot of shilling is offers are coming out. And I'm just like, this is so much money. There's just so much money they offer. You know, they offer me $2,000 for a bloody tweet. And I was like, but then that tweet would be gone. Like I would, if I'm sitting somewhere in Tonga, those guys will like beat the shit out of me. The Bitcoiners. And I was like, no way. My journey's just started. I don't need this money. As I started with hardly 500,000 sats, and I'm here doing this for 67 days because people really believe in it. And I'm moving off to Far East Asia. So I'm starting off from Thailand, moving over to Indonesia, Singapore, Philippines, cross over the Pacific and enter into the South America. Go see what the Salvadorians are doing down there. That's so it's going great. Really, really grateful.
Dude, that's amazing.
That's freaking awesome. And I think the highlight was you just went through all the things that you bought with Bitcoin. And I think that really highlights, you know, because we have this idea, right, where it's like, oh, you know, is Bitcoin legal tender? Is Bitcoin whatever? Dude, at the end of the day, Bitcoin's like cash, right? If you go to a store, right, and this is what I was talking about earlier, right? If you go to a store and the dollar is hyperinflating and you give that store like a sounder money, and it's like the question is like, does that person have a Bitcoin wallet or not? 9 out of 10 people, I would say, Phil, would be like, yeah, you could pay me in Bitcoin. Awesome. You know, regardless of, you know, what the political situation is, right? Because again, it's like cash. There is no middleman. Mm-hmm. There is no institution that you have to deal with. It's a direct peer-to-peer transaction, right? So that, I think, highlights the power of Bitcoin. And Bitcoin isn't legal tender in India right now, right? So again, you know, it really highlights, it's like, regardless of what's happening in fiat politics, Bitcoin still does its thing, right? Regardless. So it's just, as a Bitcoiner, you tend to gravitate, and this is kind of tying it up with Gigi and the sovereign individual tweet. You as a Bitcoiner, it gives you tremendous amount of power to vote with your feet. Just go where you're treated best, you know? And then that what's going to happen is, Phil and I have been talking about this so much, where it's going to radically change over time. There's going to be slow, where governments all of a sudden, they start working for you rather than you working for them, right? Which is kind of the situation that we see today because they control the money printer. But if you take that money printer away from them and all of a sudden they have to attract Bitcoiners, right, for tax purposes, for business purposes, all of a sudden the power is not in their hands, but it's in the Bitcoin hands. And their only response is, we have to provide better incentives for that Bitcoiner to come to me than to go somewhere else. And that's exactly what you're doing. This is no longer theory. This is exactly what you're seeing play out in El Salvador when he's saying 0% income tax, when he's saying 0% property tax, when he's saying 0%. Why do you think he's doing that? To incentivize rich ass Bitcoiners, whales, to fucking move to El Salvador. And I heard that it's like $100,000 investment in that bond and you get yourself an El Salvadorian passport. That is exactly what the guy was talking about in the sovereign individual. That's exactly what you're seeing play out right now. We have front row seats for it. It's freaking awesome. But anyways, Phil, there was an open source software release today. Why don't you tell everybody about it?
Software releases. The software releases are brought to you by CipherSafe. Check them out, CipherSafe.io. It is definitely one of the best places to store your seed, right? Steal backup, tamper-proof, pet-proof, weather-proof, all the stuff-proof. Check it out down below. All right, everyone. We've got Umbrel version 0.4.8 that was released. And before we go, I just want to explain with software updates, right? So a lot of times stuff like Umbrel or Mynode, they have a UI, right? They have it's kind of like a shell UI. And behind it are different applications such as Bitcoin Core or Ride the Lightning, which is a web interface for your Lightning wallet, okay? And these versions are going to differ from the main version of the, we'll call it the shell UI, which is Umbrel, yeah?
The OS.
The OS, thank you. Yeah, the OS, but it's really just a shell. Anyways, but Umbrel version 0.4.8 down below in the show notes and rant.
Awesome. Thank you, Phil. No, it's good. It's good to learn something. I know we had some comments in relation to that, so it's good. But before we go, guys, I want to give a very special shout out to our awesome guest. You can go follow him on Twitter and support him at Run With Bitcoin. His name is Paco de la India. Super cool stuff. We're definitely going to do an update episode. Let's see. He'll probably dye his hair orange by then in a year from now and a couple months from now. See where fucking Paco's at. He's probably going to travel the whole world. Really cool stuff. But anyways, guys, if you enjoyed the show, you know what to do. Smash that like button. And of course, you want to continue hearing the Bitcoin news and the catastrophic fails. Definitely consider subscribing. We'll see you tomorrow, guys, for another episode of Simply Bitcoin.
Bitcoin is the silent revolution.